Hello, this is Paul Green, WGN political analyst and chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Today we had Ms. Ginger Evans, the commissioner of the Chicago Department of Aviation. She made some news by saying that the lakes have been reduced by 57%, and she was also talking about the increased employments both at O'Hare and Midway. We had a standing room only crowd as she announced that their $1.3 billion construction at O'Hare is about to begin.
Okay. I want to make sure that you guys all get your $20 worth. So I'm going to go through a lot of material fairly quickly to respect everyone's time. I will say, with apologies to everyone who has to deal with me right now, my chief of staff went on maternity leave 2 weeks ago, and so our coordination has been a little bit rocky, and it probably will continue to be rocky until she comes back. But thanks for bearing with us while we keep the ship moving. You know, everyone knows Chicago's been a real long-time leader in aviation, and you know we've had our fits and starts as in any business, but that's going to continue. We're picking up the pace a little bit, and we're going to pick up the pace even more. So, just a quick overview of where we are today. Basically, you know, we have reduced delays. The airfield investments that have been made today, which by the way are $4.4 billion, are what we've spent to date. Newspapers don't seem to know that number, but it's $4.4 billion that we spent to date, have resulted in a significant reduction in delays. The part of the delays that FAA measures, which is the air traffic delays, actual measured delays are down 57%. Not everything that was promised, because it's not complete, but still major progress. This is huge. This is where we're headed. This is our updated forecast. So 2030, almost, you know, a significant increase in passengers. I'm not going to read the numbers. And a doubling but in the next 30 years. Commercial operations, we're at 859,000 today. Our forecasts are for a fewer number of larger airplanes. So we are going to have growth in aircraft, but not commensurate with the growth in passengers, because we are going to have larger seat aircraft, and that trend has already started. So that's an industry-wide trend. There's no question that our peak periods are the critical factor. It's not total annual operations. It's not total annual passengers. It's what happens during those peak periods. That's when the airlines make money. We're a hub, after all. And so we really care a lot about the peak periods. And we are pretty much at, I would say, 90 to 95% of our peak period capacity. You see that orange line going up? That is basically the peak hour seats per operation. So we're having, again, those larger numbers of those larger aircraft coming in, going up. So we all know, to be competitive, we have to add capacity and we have to increase the customer experience. We have to do both of those things almost continually. But some of that comes in bigger chunks than others. I just want to highlight our we've had a big emphasis on upgrading our concessions at O'Hare in the last 9 months. We completed 20 new projects in 2015. This year we have completed 7 to date. Sarah Levy is here from Sarah's Candies. Just opened Friday, just in time for Easter, so stop by and you'll have all your... and then there's a couple of major new restaurants coming in the next month. So we're really working hard, and thanks to HMS Host and others for the investment that they've made, understanding that we've got to provide more technology and more goods and services for our customers. Now, the reason, I think, why City Club invited me to come back was the $1.3 billion O'Hare airfield plan, which took a lot of people by surprise. It was announced fairly suddenly at the end of January, and that's because it was a very careful negotiation that required buy-in from a lot of people. So we hadn't talked about it a lot up to that point for good reason, which is these negotiations are sensitive and have to be closely held. But once we got it announced, we had to hustle it through so that we could get it under construction this summer. So first bids today for this $1.3 billion package. So we are well on our way to basically starting construction in May. And a shout out to HNTB, Chris, thank you, and for your team. They worked through Thanksgiving, through Christmas, through the last three weekends to make sure that we were on track to do this. So I called, I pressed them, and they answered the mail. So much appreciated. This is kind of boring stuff, but there were some things that were clearly needed at O'Hare that we didn't have. We didn't have de-icing pads. Every major airport has de-icing pads. And we did not have any at O'Hare, which, of course, we know we are a snow airport. So this is the reason why you want de-icing pads. It basically allows you to pull that aircraft, load it, pull it away to a separate area for de-icing so that an arriving aircraft can now use that data. I'm sure many of you have arrived at O'Hare and waited for your gate to be available because they were de-icing an airplane. So this basically, it's really the cheapest, fastest gate you can build is to build de-icing pads because basically you're turning over that gate faster, which is very important to the airlines, very important to our customers. Some of you probably have had the bad experience of having to de-ice twice. That happens when you're too far from the runway threshold. So there's a certain time between the time you de-ice and the time you take off. If that time expires, you got to de-ice again. So de-icing closer to the runway threshold is very important to eliminate that secondary de-icing. It's safer for the ramp workers. They're not exposed to that material. It basically just improves your overall operation. So, and it's environmentally a little bit better. So there was a lot of reasons why we needed those de-icing pads. So basically, this is what the deal looks like. We needed the de-icing pads, and it was also clear, kind of taking a look at all the modeling and the work that had been done to date, that the new runway that you see in white at the top, 9C27C, was very important part of the capacity gains that was promised with O&P. It's an international runway, 11,245 feet long, major capacity for departures, and it's a Group 5 aircraft, 200 feet wide. But the middle part of the airfield was a little bit messy. There was an old runway and a taxiway that block the main terminal area. So there's a taxiway called Taxiway AB. You see it kind of in the middle of the diagram. And when I looked at the drawings, I said, oh, my God, that's why O'Hare hasn't been able to add gates. That taxiway constrains the development area for the terminal. So, I started calling it the girdle and said, let's get rid of it. And in the meantime, it's also been clear that the FAA, 10 years ago when this plan was approved, they were okay with it, but they now have their highest safety priority is what they call irregular geometry. They don't like those angles because it's harder for the pilots to see around behind. So they want things to be 90 degrees. So it was pretty clear that we could improve the safety of the airfield operation. We could untangle that middle part of the airfield. And guess what? We end up with a very, very nice piece of real estate to develop. Think about that. So when we looked at the old plan, we said with a little bit of tweaking, it's a better plan, and it gives us that development area. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more detail. So here's the kind of sequence. Some parts of it are going to construction right away. Thank you, HNTB. Some parts of it are in planning. Some parts of it are in design. But this little $1.3 billion program, which I'm calling the enabling projects for what we really want to do at O'Hare, which is add gates, basically has been very carefully programmed out. I want to emphasize that we did make an announcement. The mayor made a very important announcement at the announcement of this program, and that is we intend and absolutely are going to have a much more robust workforce development plan associated with this capital program. So contractors, when you pick up your bid documents today, you're going to see a new provision in the general conditions that's going to require three jobs fairs in socioeconomic challenged areas. It's going to require that the contractor have an employment coordinator for those communities. We're going to require the contractor to submit a plan to target underserved and veteran workers. And we're also going to ask to provide some transportation assistance from the Blue Line station to wherever their contractor staging lots are. So that's very, very important, and it's new, and so that's why I highlight it. You've probably also read that we've just ticked up our goals a little bit, which I think is perfectly reasonable. We've exceeded our goals for years, so why not just increase the goal? So when I first kind of brief this, I have to tell a little bit of a side story. There's a very sophisticated and talented executive at United Airlines. Her name's Kate Gebo. I've known Kate for many, many years. And while she's in the C-suite now at United, she was a planner. She was a very capable planner. That's where she started her career. And we had a joint meeting with the airlines in August to kind of talk about, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to go forward? And after the meeting broke up, we kind of walked around a little bit, and I said, you know, Kate, this is so obvious to me that this is a problem. And, you know, it looks to me like, you know, I think the FAA has a few extra dollars in the next 3 years. So if we could get a few extra dollars for this runway and deal with this, you know, it just looks to me like with a little tweaking, we've got a better plan. And, you know, the airlines are very careful what they say. They have to be. But, you know, she said, you know, I think that makes sense. I kind of like that. And at that moment, I knew the plan had legs. I knew it absolutely had legs. So we did a little bit more work, a little bit more analysis. We figured out exactly how much federal money there was available. And then I went to the mayor, and I showed him a very simple diagram. And I said, Mayor, this is what we're going to do. We build this runway. In doing that, we basically allow Western Access to get completed. We build a couple of new hangars in this northern area, which, by the way, would have been blocked by that old runway if it were still open. Then we close this guy, which is a problem. We build this new taxiway, and then we've got this nice piece of real estate to figure out what to do with. And he looked at me, and he said, you mean if we do this, we get to do this? And I said, yeah, Mayor. And he said, what's the name of that runway again? And I said, Runway 9C. It was like launching a missile. He stood up from the table. He said to his staff, I'm going to Washington tomorrow. I swear to God. He went to Washington the next day. Within 5 days, everyone in Washington understood the importance of 9C. And the FAA administrator called me, and he said, all the mayor kept saying over and over was, we need Runway 9C, we need Runway 9C. And so he really went and knocked down doors to make this happen. And then, of course, we had to, you know, it's a very detailed process. It's a lot of money. The rest, as we say, you know, well, details. But Kate understanding it and the mayor understanding it both so quickly was really the key. So I just emphasize that because that leadership is so important. We also, at the same time, we're talking with the airlines about what we could do short-term for gates. We looked at three or four options. There wasn't much possible, and we kind of walked away from it. And we came up with two or three plans that were acceptable to the city, and I finally said to the airlines, you know, I really can't spend any more time on this. But then American came back and said, well, you know, we'll pay for a little stinger right here. That can handle five RJs. If they pay for it, we don't have to have consensus from the other airlines. So basically, we're in the process of finalizing that deal. I think we're going to take it to City Council this month and introduce it. But that's it. That's it. That is the only space we have available. This thing is chunky damn full. So that's why we're looking west over here. So, what's next? You all know how important international traffic is. You know, depending on the frequency of the flight and where it goes to, it's a couple hundred billion dollars a year. Huge. Those international visitors. I heard the head of Northwestern Hospital talk recently about the importance of international medical visitors to their business. So you cannot overstate the importance of international for basically our whole community. The mayor has stated a goal of increasing annual visitation to 55 million passengers. We can't get there without increasing capacity at O'Hare, no question. We've got to elevate Chicago In terms of our standing, it's a fabulous city, and people, the appreciation of Chicago is not what it should be. And once people are here, they realize what a it's better than New York. It's more fun than New York. You can get around easier. It's less expensive. There's just as much to do. The corporate relocations that you've heard so much about, you know, no question, it's key to that. And really, you know, the cultural awareness is really important in our global world of us being able to travel to other countries and then being able to travel here. So you just can't overstate it enough. This is kind of where we're at. JFK has 30 million a year. Miami and LAX both have 21 million. Chicago's at 12 million. Now, we have some good news. There's no question that we have some very good news coming. Icelandair starts Wednesday this week. We've got China Eastern. We've got EVA coming in from Taipei. They're a Keystar Alliance partner. You all heard the great news about, you know, Cuba, and we're in the hunt for Cuba. We're very hopeful to get in a flight. And Mexico is opening up with a new bilateral. So there's more possible. But truthfully, today, we are facility constrained. We're a little bit facility constrained at O'Hare, and so T5 isn't going to get us where we need to go in the international arena. I also want to just mention that there's a change in the way international is happening. Right now, today, the peak rates at T5 are three times the design rate. In the summer, when we have a bunch of students coming in, it causes 3 to 4 hour waits. So we really have a huge facility constraint. There's an important change happening in international that we will be able to capitalize on, and that is the expansion of Customs and Border Patrol pre-clearance. In that program, arriving international flights are treated as domestic flights, which is a huge advantage for the carriers, for the passengers. It eases the transfer process, and it requires a much closer connection to the domestic gates than we have today. But we also need larger gates in you know, closer to our domestic area. Today, Ireland, Canada, and the UAE have pre-clearance, but we're told that in 18 months, two new countries are expected to be approved and 10 countries are in process by the U.S. government. So that's a trend. If we can forecast where they're going to be when we open our new terminals, we can have the best international facility in the country, because no other airport had the opportunity of knowing that when they built their international facility. So this is a huge, huge opportunity for us. CBP is saying things like they want to be able to see the passenger with your bag. That would completely change the FIS configuration that we have today. So, you know, where there's change, there's opportunity. And there are some advantages to being at the time that we are thinking through this. So basically, as we look at what we're going to do at O'Hare, one of the things we've done is a condition assessment. And just, you know, we think of, we're very proud of our facilities. I think the airlines do a great job. Our facilities guys do a great job. They, you know, they're clean, they move, but they're pretty old. You know, we love T1, but it, you know, it's 28 years old, and it probably needs to be, you know, modified in some way. We don't know how exactly. Terminal 5 is our newest terminal, 23 years old. And these green guys, are 54 years old. So here's L over here. Here's where the new little stinger will go. So again, where there's change, there's opportunity. Our parking garage is 44 years old. It's not going to last another 20 years. So we have to take the condition of these facilities into account as we move forward. So all of this has to happen. Unfortunately, we kind of are on the process to do that. So we've put in place a planning process to take advantage of this expanded O'Hare platform that we're creating by moving that taxiway. And I just want to say the good news, one of the good news about that opportunity is that there's plenty of room to accommodate everybody. I'm not going to make any apologies for meeting the business needs of our two hub carriers. They have been here for decades. They have been supporters of the airport. They have been supporters of the business community. And we're going to meet their business needs. And we're going to meet their business needs first as we figure out how to move O'Hare forward. That doesn't mean that other carriers won't also be taken into consideration and can't also grow. They will. We have room to do that now. But a hub operation is more complicated. And quite frankly, it's more important. So I make no apologies for that. We're going to basically take all of these into account, and we're going to account for some unknowns in the future. And we have the opportunity to do that. Preparing alternate layouts to, is a very important process. It has to be extremely carefully done. We will work with the airlines to select a preferred alternative, and then we'll back off. That's for the 30-year plan. Then we'll back off and develop staging plans for, okay, what are we going to build in the short term? So basically, this is the timeline that we're on, and we're well underway in that next process. And you know, we expect to reach agreement in early 2018, and we're off to the races. So you won't hear me talk about this again for a very long time, because it's very important that we do what we did on the first deal, which is respect the business plans of our tenants, and make sure that we're doing something that's affordable, something that's manageable. And I just want to emphasize that, you know, we are in competition. This is not, I mean, this is a time right now when the airlines have money, they're profitable. We're in competition for that capital. And so we've got to be realistic. We've got to put plans on the table that make a more efficient operation for our airlines. But we also want to go compete for that capital, because it's not going to last forever. Just to give you a sense that we're not completely out of our minds, Houston is forecasting 42% growth by 2025. So this is a growth time in aviation. They're going to add 1.7 million square feet of additional terminal space in Houston. This is what it takes to take a hub airport into the future. So this is not overly ambitious. It's actually what is needed to support our needs and the needs of our tenant airlines. I just want to touch on Midway quickly. The mayor always emphasizes that it's very important for us to emphasize Midway. And I hear a little Irish voice in my background saying, fabulous, say fabulous. Midway Airport is fabulous. It's going to be more fabulous. We are currently under design to expand the security checkpoint, which those of you remember, it was opened just before 9/11, before these new security regulations came into play. It's been undersized for all this time. So we're basically widening the bridge. And while we're widening the bridge, we're going to add some more space for concessions and retail. And at the same time, our parking garage definitely needed to be expanded. So basically, this guy's under design too. You'll see both of these projects go to bid early next year, and you'll see both of them completed in the second quarter of 2019. So this is well underway. And you'll see here's the new concession space that we're adding. We are very, very excited that Midway is going to be, you know, at the same level as O'Hare in terms of amenities and customer service, and you know, we'll easily double our revenue. So that's all good. So we have a lot of important work to do, and I can't thank all of you enough for your support as we go through this process, and we're gonna have some fun.
No sense starting off with a softball. All right. Christy Hansen. Where are you, Christy?
Hi.
You ready?
Yeah.
Homeowner on Kennedy flight path. Will quiet hours ever come back?
Why? No.
The Kennedy has been for several decades the primary arrival path into O'Hare. We have two changes that will immediately improve the noise exposure for people on the Kennedy. One of them is the planned rotation of nighttime noise away from the Kennedy. Right now, the predominance of the nighttime flights fly 27 left arrivals. That plan has been in place for a very long time, too long. So we are undertaking a process to change that and rotate. So instead of using that runway as the primary arrival runway, and all the departures out the west and northwest, instead rotating those nighttime arrivals using 9 thresholds, which will provide significant relief. The second way in which we will provide some relief is to change the balance of what we call east flow to west flow. So today, we're in west flow about 70% of the time, which means that eastern neighborhood gets a heavy arrival. So we're working with their traffic. They're open to it, and we're hoping to get that down to about a 60% through this season, and then eventually down a little bit lower than that. So those two specific improvements will help people in the Kennedy.
Okay. Gloria Castillo, CMC Enterprises. How will the proposed new gates impact the sales and investments of concessionaires in Terminal 5?
That's a general question.
Well, the immediate new gates, the 5 RJ gates that American intends to build, won't affect Terminal 5 at all, because those sales will go to local passengers using those gates. We will provide for some concessions in that new little Stinger concourse, because you have to provide food close to where people's loading gate is. So it won't affect T5 at all. Now, the future new terminals, it'll be very carefully staged. Many of you have been through LAX and other airports when they were undergoing renovations, and there are very careful provisions made to ensure the proper notice, advertising, and protection of the passenger walkways to those existing tenants.
Any other questions?
Why don't you repeat the question?
Yes. The question is, in our plans, are we taking into account adaptation and use of new technologies? Absolutely. Great question. I always say you can't put these new technologies in your grandmother's terminal building. With modern, renovated terminals, there's no question that a technology plan overall will be developed. It will be completely different. You've seen touches of it already in our concession upgrades at O'Hare. You've seen people using headsets. You're seeing more digital displays. Those are kind of tack-on technology improvements that are really easy. But overall, there's no question that if you look at the new LAX Bradley West terminal, that is a terminal that was built to support technology. So the thinking about technology has completely reversed in terminal architecture in the last 5 years. People want to be entertained. They want to know. They want to have information. They want to be connected, and that's a critical part of any modern terminal going forward. And I think it's just a natural outcome. Even the architectural community has really embraced the need to give technology a primary role in any new facilities.
And we have things on the table here. You could, City Club has strict rules. Okay, the first hand in front, stand up and say who you are. Why don't you repeat that question?
Sure. The question is, do we intend to upgrade the public address system? And yes, absolutely. Now, keep in mind that we have to be careful with our expenditures. I don't want to replace something that's going to get replaced in 3 years. So we're doing things in a certain order for a certain reason. So I don't want to go start ripping out and putting in new systems when we don't know yet exactly which facilities the airlines want to expand, which they want to renovate, and which they want to build new. So first we have to start with the big building blocks of what the new O'Hare is going to look like. And then within those new facilities or renovated facilities, everything is going to be basically new. Yes, sir, in the back. Sure. He just moved here from Hong Kong, and he loves the express train to the airport, and he's asking for our plans here. I will repeat what I've said publicly before and not much more. Chicago is a very high-valued service for any airport to be able to have express rail. New York would love to have it. New York has tried for 20 years to figure out a way to get express rail from some kind of rail from Kennedy into downtown or from Newark into downtown. Every airport wants it. Few have the justification, few have the ability to do it. Chicago is a rail town. Chicago has a lot of rail lines. I have this huge map of every rail line in going into central Chicago in my office. There is a tremendous amount of rail infrastructure already in place in Chicago. So we have a better chance than most. We also probably have maybe a higher need than most because the Kennedy is essentially at capacity. When I was reading the reevaluation that the FAA published this past fall, everyone of course went straight to the noise impacts, which were very interesting because we found out that the most impacted communities by noise were not along the Kennedy. I went straight to the surface transportation section, and what it said was, of 9 key intersections around O'Hare, by 2020, not that far away, all but one of them would be level of service F. Now, all the engineers know what that means. Level of service F means failed. It means that you sit through a light two or three times to get through that light. The other one was level of service D. So our surface transportation system is creaking under the strains of growth. There comes a point at which you don't have any choice but to look to rail to be part of your solution. The right time to look at that is now, while we're looking at our terminal plans. We're certainly not going to force a solution. It has to make sense. But it would be unwise to not find out if there's an opportunity. Now, people have asked me, what's different this time? Well, what's different this time is we actually hired an engineering firm. No, not a planning, not an assessment, not a survey of what people think. We actually hired an engineering firm to do conceptual engineering. And when you have that, you have actual cost estimates and you have alternatives analysis that are actually based on the assets that are available. So we're interested in it. The mayor will tell you we have to have it, but we've got to take a look at the numbers and see what makes sense. I happen to believe, given the interest in development in downtown Chicago, which is completely through the roof, our existing rail assets, and the opportunity that we have right now to weave it into our new terminal configuration in a way that really works for the customers, that we have a very good chance of making it happen. And so we're very excited about it. Stay tuned. Next you'll hear about it is early next year. The question was, will we in the new terminals have the capacity to handle the big Airbus aircraft? We'll open our first A380 gate this year, which is great. We have about 3 carriers that we think will upgrade their flight from a different aircraft type to an A380 within a few months after us making that gate available to them. In the new, it isn't just the big Airbus. There's a bunch of larger aircraft that we call NLAs, new large aircraft. I would tell you the Boeing Dreamliner is a beautiful aircraft. And a lot of these aircraft do have larger what we call gate frontage requirements. So the A380 will always have an important role, but it's certainly not the only role. So we will fit the gates according to the fleet forecast that is given to us by our tenant airlines. But we will have the capacity to deal with basically everything that's in manufactured and being thought of in the future.
Will those gates be at the international terminal?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, no question that the new one is at T5. This first one is at T5. So, again, exactly how we're going to configure that going forward. We have a great opportunity to look at a wide array of options, and that's what we're in the process of doing right now.
Okay. Final question
From Ryan. Great first name, Ryan. Kolzinski.
Close.
All right. Southwest Airlines. You get in line for... No. Other than my best behavior to the end, Jay, I was almost there. If O'Hare has limited real estate, what's your assessment of the real estate situation at Midway? Good question.
Hey, I just read.
Well, Midway has 2 quadrants of Midway are fully utilized. We have 4. So 2 others are not fully utilized, and we have room to at least double the international gates at Midway.
Okay. I thought it might be the mayor, but no.
Yeah. No, there is room to expand. service at Midway in other ways. We're going to have, again, larger seat aircraft coming in to Midway with the first 737 MAX that Southwest Airlines has taken delivery of. We'll come into Midway next year. We know we can double the international gates, and we have some other areas that I would consider underutilized. So we're not done.
Okay, how about a round of applause? Very good. Well done, Virginia.